Tchau, irmão.
Yesterday we spoke about this Jati Gosai.
We went over the characteristics of this group, and we noted that Srila Prabhupada said, of all the 13 Upasampradayas, this one is the most important. And I explained why. Because the Jati Gosai are kind of, they're derived by family line from the actual Gosai or Goswamis. And the common people, in their simplicity, accept that simply because they're related, family descended, that they are bona fide. Of course, it must also be said that many of the Goswami people in India now, or in Bengal now, who call themselves Goswamis are not even related with any bona fide Vaishnava at all. They just declared themselves Goswami. So that's something else. So I mentioned how the Jati Gosai, sometimes they are giving initiation to unqualified persons who give them support, give them money. And in this way, more unqualified Vaishnavas are created, who also become known as Sahajas or something else. And then other times, they are considering themselves very exclusive and disrespecting or not accepting that outsiders can be also be recognized as devotees. And thus they create discontent and people break away from the traditional Vaishnavism and form their own new cult as a kind of rebellion. So I wanted to point out how that particular phenomena is actually quite relevant to ISKCON. Because in ISKCON is also, at least in the West, the established society of Krishna consciousness, Gaudiya Vaishnavism. We are representing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the disciplic succession. But it may be that some members of ISKCON, especially those in leadership positions who have influence, they may actually deviate from the basic spiritual principles. And thus, although they're seen to be in big positions by others and accepted in that way, they're actually not effective in preaching Krishna consciousness. And so because they're not getting that bhakti rasa, the actual correct taste from serving Krishna nicely, so then they become sometimes, you know, I want to say that their whole vision of things is materialistic, becomes more and more materialistic. So in order to realize their whatever plans they have for perhaps building up some big project, and then they will become known as important, then in doing that, they may collect around them associates, you know, friends who are also accepted to be exalted Vaishnavas, but who are also off the track. And then it's party spirit. Then others they create trouble for. Others become the enemy, the political opponents. And then they chastise them and cause them trouble. And then this other party, because they become so frustrated, then they may break away and form some new group in protest of that. And then we see later on that the big leader and his friends, they all fall down. And also the new group they also fall down. Now this, I'm speaking general, but I think most of you know that such things we have actually seen happen. And I'm directly relating it to this Jati Gosai because it's very relevant. As I said, the Jati Gosai are accepted as the establishment Vaishnavas. They're well established, they have the temples, they have perhaps the family connection. They're the priests. So people look upon them in that way, being very respectable. But if they're off the track, then their influence actually becomes very dangerous in both ways. In the way of they collect people around them who are also off the track, and then they make trouble for others and push them out, and they become too frustrated and everyone falls down together. So, all right, so we talked about Jati Gosai enough. Now we want to go on to the Smartas. And again, as you see in the chart here, we've placed both Jati Gosai and Smarta under the category of being interested in Anitya Vaibhava, which means temporary material success or attainment. Because they're very much interested in collecting disciples, getting money, building up their operations more and more and becoming more and more famous and successful in society as priests, holy men, great Vaishnavas and so on. So the Smartas, you see the Jati Gosai are more directly connected with Mahaprabhu's movement. That is to say, if they're actually in the family line. The Smartas, Smarta means, well, we can explain. You will often run across this word in Srila Prabhupada's books. So the word Smarta, it is related with the word Smriti. It is derived from Smriti. Smriti is a division of Shastras. There's the Smriti Shastras. There is the Shruti Shastras. Shruti Shastras are like the four Vedas, Upanishads. And the Smriti Shastras are the Puranas and the Mahabharata and like that. And also, in the Smriti Shastras, there's also what is known as the Dharma Shastras, like Manu Smriti. Now, Smriti means to remember. So, the Smriti contains rules and regulations and also the stories. Like all the Puranas, Mahabharata have all these stories. So it's just like law book and law journal. You see, you have the law book. In society, there's the book of laws, you know, that you shouldn't park your car here or whatever it may be. So many laws to run society. And then you have law journal, which means every month or every whatever, every year, so many court cases are there. These laws are being tested in the court. Judges are making rulings, you see, adjusting the law to some particular situation. So this is all being written down and put in the law journal to illustrate how the law functions. Because simply the law, that's like theoretical, but we have to see how it actually applies. So then so many illustrations you find there. Some person, you know, let his dog run loose and the dog passed urine and on someone's front step, and then he came out and it turned to ice and he slipped on it and broke his leg. So whose fault is it? You know. So this all becomes a big question. No one can understand whose fault it is. So it goes before the judge and he has to look at the laws and come to some decision. And then he bases his decision on the law, interprets it. So the Smriti Shastras have these two aspects. The Dharma Shastras, that's the laws. And the Puranas and Itihasa, the stories, that's the illustration. Because in the Puranas you'll find the stories of different personalities who some are very pious, and you see what result they got. They observed this vrata, they bathed at this auspicious time, and then they went to, you know, Brahmaloka or something. And then on the other side, you read about some demons who broke all the Vedic injunctions, and what happened to them? They got their head cut off, they went to hell, like that. So all these things are their illustration. Now, smriti, as I said, means remember. So that is referring to one should remember Krishna. One should remember the instructions of the Shruti. Shruti are the central Vedas and Upanishads, central philosophy. So actually we should be remembering this throughout the day. We should remember God and His instructions. So the smriti helps us to remember by giving stories and giving rules. If you have to follow your life according to rules and regulations, then automatically you think about, why am I doing this? After I eat, why should I wash my hands and mouth? You see? And we know it's not simply because of, you know, health reasons. If that's the only reason, then we see, you know, like that's in the modern society, the only reason anyone should keep clean is just because of health. This is what they say. So that's not enough. Therefore, everybody is so moochy. Because that standard is very low, you know, just to be concerned with the physical health of the body. Because they think the body is meant for sense gratification. So it's a very minimal thing. The body is meant for sense gratification, so I will engage in sense gratification, which is in itself so impure. So in that type of lifestyle, what cleanliness will there be? You see, just a little bit of splashing water here, there. That's all. But in Krishna consciousness lifestyle, there is actually elaborate rules for cleanliness. And that's because the concern is much more than just health. Health is included. But actually we have to be clean to serve Krishna. And so when one is observing these rules and regulations just of cleanliness, one is thinking of Krishna. Yes. Why do I have to wash my hand after touching the mouth? Because I'm a servant of Krishna and I have to keep this body clean for His service. And you see, as soon as we neglect that, as soon as we don't follow these things, then the Krishna consciousness goes very low. So this is why, this is the reason for smriti. So then smarta is derived from that word smriti. There are so many rules and regulations. So these smarta Brahmins, they are very much attached to follow them. But there's one problem with their following. They're not remembering Krishna. Instead, they're becoming very puffed up. This is, again, we mentioned this yesterday, this niyamagraha, adhering to niyama. Niyama means rules and regulations. Accepting them as all in all. The rules and regulations themselves are the thing that we should follow. Why? So that we become very aristocratic. You see, people look up to us and think, yes, he is a pure Brahman. He knows so many rituals. And in this way they will respect us, they will worship us, they will give us money, and we will become very happy in this life. So this smarta Brahman thing, phenomena, is all over India, and it is not necessarily at all connected with Vaishnavism as an apasampradaya. I mean, the smarta phenomena is very broad. Prabhupada sometimes says smarta Brahman means caste Brahman, someone who's thinking he's a Brahman by birth. So that can go on in so many fields, not just connected with the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. But the thing is in Bengal, at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, there were these smarta Brahmins, as they are everywhere. And then these smarta Brahmins, some of them anyway, they took up, to some degree or other, the Sankirtan movement or Krishna consciousness or Vaishnavism as taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then they became accepted by some people as being the representatives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they're still attached to their smarta idea. So that's why they're classified as an apasampradaya. And their function is very similar to the Jati Gosai, very respectable in society, very prominent like that. So therefore we put them in the same category. Now, I just want to go over some points concerning the smarta ideology, their philosophy. This is also very relevant to ISKCON, actually. We often get questions, especially from the Pujaris. Pujaris are often concerned about this. Am I becoming a smarta Brahmin? So it's good to know what it means. So, Dharma, which means religion, it is twofold. There, Dharma can be understood in two ways. That which is artika, from arta. Arta means valuable or value. So artika, Dharma, this means that which is like based on the what is valuable to the body, the needs of the body, or the needs of this life. And then there is paramartika. As you know, param means supreme. So that means the supreme need. In other words, the need of the soul. The body has needs, but the soul has needs. And of the two, obviously the need of the soul is most important. So in our Krishna consciousness, both things are there. You see, spiritual need and material need is fulfilled. Therefore, we're also eating, and we're also sleeping, and also shelter is there, or defense for the devotees, and the marriage life, having children. So these four things are the need of the body, and they're there in the Krishna consciousness movement. But obviously, as we all know, it doesn't stop with that. More important than that, there's the paramartika, the need of the soul to serve Krishna. So these are the two kinds of dharma. The smartas, they're concerned with this artika. They're concerned with this life, this body. So they're in the shastras, rules and regulations for both. The artika and the paramartika. But the smartas, they put the stress on the artika dharma. You see, in the shastras, these rules and regulations will sometimes conflict artika, paramartika, according to time, place, circumstance. Just like we see with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You remember this? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came early in the morning with the Mahaprasad, and Sarvabhauma didn't want to take. The reason he didn't want to take, his reasoning was all based on the artika dharma. There are rules and regulations that say you should not take foodstuff until you've become ritually purified and all of this and that. So, according to the mode of life of the Brahmana. So he objected, no, I cannot take. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, take, this is prasadam. And then he took, and then he felt very blissful, because he was then practicing the paramartika dharma. And that satisfied him. He became very enlivened in Krishna consciousness. So sometimes there is conflict between the two. So the Vaishnavas, this is the clear difference between the Vaishnavas and the Smartas. When the conflict comes up, the Vaishnavas take the paramartika dharma rule, And the smartest take the Artika Dharma. And therefore, the smartest are condemned. So, their idea, just like you probably know, the Krishna consciousness, philosophy, lifestyle, everything is arranged according to three classifications: sambandha, avideya, prayojana. Sambandha means the relationship of the living entity to the Absolute Truth. Avideya means the function of that relationship, which is devotional service. And the prayojana means the final goal, result. Also, prayojana means necessity or need. It is synonymous with this paramatika, the supreme need. So, the smartas, they misinterpret that. They misinterpret what is the prayojana, what is the supreme need. So, sambandha, avidya is there. There is some relationship with the Absolute Truth. They follow the Vedas. There is avideya. They're functioning according to the Vedic rules and regulations. But the prayojana, their idea of what is the goal, is wrong. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach very clearly what is the goal. But they actually don't accept that. So the smarta idea can be compared with mundane morality. You know, just like there are Sweden is a good place to mention in this regard. There are these social planners, you see, like in the Socialist Party, who they themselves, they're atheists. But they say, yes, to achieve our social goals, you know, what we want, it's good to have religion. You know, it keeps the people moral and honest. You know, it gives them some inspiration, some reason to go on. So that's all right, we can have some religion for them. But the people, these planners themselves, they're atheists. So the smartists are like that. You see, they're using the Vedic religion, the Dharma, in the same way. They themselves are actually atheists. Actually. At least by the definition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're actually atheists. They have no sense of devotion to Krishna. They have no sense of being Krishna's servant. Krishna is just another god, you see, these smarta Brahmins. According to the day on the calendar, they will worship some different god, you see. Oh, now is the time to worship Lord Shiva, Shivaratri. Oh, now it is Durga Puja. Now, the smartas are actually, one can see in India, going especially South India, where where the Vedic culture is still somewhat visible. The smartas are priests for hire, you see. If there's an occasion, Vaishnava occasion, they don't mind. Wear Vaishnava tilak. If it's worship Lord Shiva, wear the, like Atma Tattva says, the wah. He always says, wah. The three lines. Or if it's for worshipping Durga, you put the dot. The Shaktis wear the dot. So they change their outfit around, fitting the need. And, you know, in this way they're just collecting money. Vaishnavas need some puja. If they can't get anyone else, they may hire the smarta. He's just coming for the donation, that's all. He takes out this Vaishnava festival, looks on his shelf, the book of, you know, Vaishnava rituals. And then, okay, yes. And then tomorrow it may be a Shiva festival. So then he becomes a Shaivite for that day. And the whole thing is just to get money. Now we want to look. Yeah. Here I have a list of similarities in discussing what is Smarta Brahman, how they are similar to the Vaishnavas. Number one, both accept the Varnashram Dharma. Number two, both are apparent worshippers of Vishnu. Number three, demigods are treated by both with respect. Four, both sects celebrate occasions such as Ekadasi, Janmashtami, and Ram Navami. Five, both take bath in and worship the sacred Ganga. Both open ashrams and temples and install and worship deities. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra is accepted by both. Both accept Krishna Prasadam, offered garlands, charanamrita, etc. Both accept a spiritual master. Both accept initiation and a mantra. The Shalagram Shila is worshipped by both. The Tulsi plant is apparently respected by both. Both may wear the tilak and use Tulasi Mala, Kanti Mala on the neck. Scriptures such as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are read by both. Both go to pilgrimage, holy places. Both perform the Sandhya Vadana rituals, that means chanting Gayatri Mantra three times a day. Both follow Varnashram regulations and perform, for instance, such things as the Shraddha ceremony for the departed forefathers. Chaturmasya is observed by both. They both observe similar sangskaras, like giving the sun the sacred thread, like that. They both accept gotra, that means family line. So these are 20 similarities. But then the differences are that, for instance, on the first point, though they both accept Varnashram Dharma, the Vaishnavas accept it for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. The Smartas accept it for personal welfare. Both Smartas and Vaishnavas worship Vishnu, but the true Vaishnava worships Vishnu for his satisfaction alone. That means Lord Vishnu's satisfaction. Whereas the Smartas, they hold, as we said, Vishnu to be another demigod. So they don't have any particular special allegiance to Lord Vishnu. And by thinking that Lord Vishnu is another demigod, that means they're seeing him as material, whereas the Vaishnava, of course, sees him as the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vaishnavas never dishonor the demigods because they know that Krishna exists within all beings, including the demigods. So as Prabhupada once said, the Vaishnavas also don't disrespect, for instance, an ant either. We won't disrespect Lord Indra, and we also won't disrespect an ant on the ground. But the Smartas, they will worship these demigods, considering them to be independent gods themselves, or considering all the gods to be the same, different faces of the impersonal absolute. And the Smartas, this is an important point, they follow this Panchopasana system. That means they worship Shakti, Surya, Ganesh, Rudra, and Vishnu. Five gods. And they have a philosophy which says, you know, they're all five equal. And worshipping one is good as worshipping another. Like that. So they'll claim. They can claim, oh no, I am Vaishnava. I worship Vishnu. But they can just as easily claim, I am Shaivite, I am Shakta, I am Ganapatya. They are all these things at once. But actually they are none of them. Actually only the Vaishnavas can really offer real respect to the demigods because they know who these demigods are, what their function is, and they know how Krishna is behind them, giving them power. Smarta Brahmins, they don't understand this. The Vaishnavas celebrate Ekadasi to enhance their devotion to Krishna and to give pleasure to Krishna. And they have no personal desire in doing this. The smartest, on the other side, they celebrate for physical, mental welfare, or as activities fulfilling their moral, economic, or even sexual desires. Both take bath in and worship the Ganga, but the Vaishnavas view the Ganga as nectar emanating from Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. And whenever they see the Ganga, they're reminded of Lord Vishnu. But the smartas, why do they bathe in the Ganga? I think someone can figure this out. What? Huh? Get rid of their sins, yeah. Big difference. So the Vaishnavas, they do not differentiate between Krishna and his deity form. That is how they worship the deity. And how do they worship the deity? The prime means of worshipping the deity is through Sankirtan. And actually the Archana Paditi process, that is even secondary. I mean, of course, the Vaishnavas are observing that. But the most important thing, since this is the age of Kali, the Yuga Dharma, is Sankirtan. So that must be there. Maybe we cannot get the Panchamrita together to pour on the body of the deity on the festival day because we're, you know, in that. We just opened the temple in Afghanistan or something, and we we're not able to get these ingredients. But Sankirtan, the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the preaching of Srimad Bhagavatam Dharma, that must be there. If that is there, then the deity is there, accepting our service. Whereas on the other side, the smartest, They see a difference between the deity and the Supreme Lord. They think the deity to be material, just a statue. And thus all their service is made offensive by that idea. And they don't engage in the Sankirtan Dharma. They simply practice ritualism. So their deity worship is in effect just a big show. That's the whole point. Just make some show and then collect the donation at the end. And the same thing with opening temples. The Vaishnavas open temples to spread the Sankirtan movement, whereas the Smartas, they open temples for self-advertisement or some temporary social or moral welfare. Just like you'll have a temple and next to it a free hospital, or a gymnasium, you see, a tennis court. So yes, they have. It's a fact. Because it's just, you know, just like in any village here, church, and then in the back, playground or something, you see, something for the social good is there. Because otherwise people won't come. Just like the Catholic Church. I don't know if in Europe they do, but in America it's very famous. The Catholic Church is on, I think, Friday night or something. They're holding always this bingo. You've heard of this? Bingo game? It's a kind of gambling. So in this way, you see, they keep their followers. Austerities during Chaturmasya. So the abhidhyaya, that means the practice that the smartas and Vaishnavas follow in Chaturmasya, is pretty much the same. But of course, the goal or the intention, the idea of it, is different. The smartas observe Chaturmasya desiring liberation or promotion to the heavenly planets. And the Vaishnavas observe Chaturmasya as part of their devotion to Krishna. Samskaras. The smartas identify themselves with the body. So their samskaras all relate to the body. And therefore, because they're in that bodily consciousness, the samskaras. You know what samskara means? Everyone knows? Yeah, there are certain... Panditji, you explain. Mahasaya, Panditji, you please explain to us, what is a samskara?
The samskara, like you said, is a purificatory process for all the, specifically the Grihastha ashram, to like if they constantly can remember Lord Vishnu or Krishna.
Oh, but this is the Vaishnava idea.
But that's why I know.
Yeah.
You are there to
No, actually, that's the correct answer. But the smartest don't use these samskaras to remember Lord Vishnu because they see them as only for the body. So, there's mentioned here that both Vaishnavas and Smartas, they accept 48 samskaras, but they observe them differently. Anyway, this is some technical stuff. But the Vaishnavas, they observe the samskaras according to the Pancharatra, the Vaishnava Shastras. And the Smartas, they accept from other sources. And then finally, the Gotra, the family name. All the Vaishnavas belong to Achyuta Gotra. Achyuta Gotra means the infallible Gotra of Lord Krishna. Whereas the Smartas, they trace their Gotra according to some family line, which is not Achyuta. Especially not in Kali Yuga. And therefore you get this idea, because I'm born in such and such gotra, Smartas claim like this. This is the caste Brahmanism.
They're from Rishi.
Hmm?
Yeah. The gotra are from Rishi.
Yeah.
Not from Rishi.
No, yeah. Going back to different Rishis like that. And so they rely on this karmic line. It's a line of karma handed down from the family. But that is fallible. That means in the Kali Yuga, all these big Brahminical family lines are becoming degraded. But they're claiming, because I'm born in such and such gotra, I am Brahman. He's working in chemical factory, but he is Brahman. So Vaishnavas belong to Achyuta Gotra. That means anybody can, because the entry is by initiation, not by birth. And then the proof that one is in the Achyuta Gotra, that is a question, is one on the infallible platform. You see, above the influence of material nature. So, I have quite a bit of information, but that is... I think that's what we'll be interested in here. Any questions on Smarta? Is anyone worried that they're becoming a Smarta? Yes?
You were mentioning the similarities between how many things can have in common. You were mentioning 20 similarities.
20 similarities.
How many can
have? Well, I mentioned 20 similarities and 20 differences. Yes, I hope. Did you notice that? There's similarities and then there's differences on those same points, and the differences are very fundamental. Some of the things I didn't go over because this is not, many Pancharatras, 108. Yeah, but for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, all this Pancharatric literature, there's said to be 108 Pancharatras and other Dharma Shastras too. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Sanatana Goswami have gone through. Actually, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he went through them all, compiled, extracted from them what is relevant for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And then Sanatan Goswami, he edited that. And that is the Hari Bhakti Vilas. So we don't have to look any farther than Hari Bhakti Vilas for what we should follow. And even that, we don't follow everything.
Because,
Yeah, almost, but not to such degree. As Prabhupada mentions in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Sanatan Goswami compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas for the scene in India, because in India people are much more attached. And Prabhupada says, so it doesn't mean that to practice Krishna consciousness in outside of India, that all of these rules and regulations in full have to be transposed to the Western culture. It won't be possible. So therefore, adjustment on that point can be made. But the basics are certainly there. The basic thing is there. And we try to follow as much as possible in the spirit of enhancing our devotion to Krishna.
Actually, it's mentioned, I was reading in these books they have done about the Agni fire they made. So they cannot do any more of the same thing that they could do 3,000-4,000 years ago. They were doing that 20 years ago, 15 years ago. And, they have recorded videos and all that.
Yeah.
Lasted 2 weeks. And but they could not use the same ingredients. So actually it is written there that actually mantras is more important. So actually if you have my mantra then...
Yes.
It's replace any ingredients that you don't have.
Yes. That is our principle. It's a fact. Yes?
Yeah, in our temple once, it's not a matter of fact, we are interested. We were offended when we were telling that Shiva is the Lord of Krishna. So, we would say that the Maya version, so we don't see a difference between what is the actual goal? Would it be one?
The goal of the smartas, you mean? They're philosophical? That can be anything. You see, the smartas is just a way of life that they follow, as we've described. Philosophy, you know, that can be anything. The smartas that we're mentioning here, that are upasampradaya, they claim to accept Mahaprabhu's philosophy. But because they retain these smarta practices, which are unauthorized, therefore the real Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the real followers of Mahaprabhu, don't accept them as Vaishnavas, as genuine. But they pass themselves off. We were telling yesterday in the introduction their points that all the upasampradayas accept, which is also in common with what the genuine followers follow, like the supreme truth is Radha Krishna, for instance, or Mahaprabhu is the avatar of Radha and Krishna, or chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, like that. So, a smarta Brahman, upasampradayic smarta Brahman, he will apparently accept all these things as his philosophy. But actually, once you penetrate and look underneath, you find he's not really, he has a whole materialistic attitude about these things. But, you know, yes, he may be worshipping Radha Krishna and this and that, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They will say, Krishna is my God. You see. I remember meeting someone like that many years ago. He saw me, I'm dressed like Vaishnava. And he came up, Indian, he came up and said, oh, and Krishna is my God also. So by saying Krishna is my God, means there are other gods. And someone else may have his god, you see. Shiva is his god. Durga is his god. But Krishna is my god. So this is the attitude. So many gods are there, but Krishna is my god. So we don't accept that as being Krishna bhakti. But as I was mentioning, the smartas are all over India. So in other places, they won't have anything to do with Mahaprabhu's movement. So Many of them, yes, will be Mayavadi or something else, materialistic. Any other question? Yes, Pranam?
I saw a book, maybe also look at the book about Ekadasi.
Mm-hmm.
I just look at it, and there was many stories from the Puranas, actually connected with the Pandavas and Krishna, explaining the benefit of Ekadasi. So if one follows a certain Ekadasi, one gets, you know, how many planets or kingdoms, like that. So I was wondering what is... I didn't look throughout the whole book like that, but what is the benefit for the devotees to get into this kind of...
The thing is, that book, the author is no longer a member of ISKCON. He was when he wrote the book, but then just after publishing the book, he came under a whole controversy, which ultimately resulted in his leaving ISKCON rather than accept some reformation that was proposed to him by the GBC. So that's one point. And then the other thing about the book itself is that he wanted to write a book giving some stories about all the Ekadasis that are observed throughout the year. So then he went through, because he knew Sanskrit, so he went through the Puranas and so on, and just found any story connected with that Ekadasi and translated it and printed it. But you cannot, write a book of Vaishnava Siddhanta, coming to the Vaishnava conclusion, simply like that, simply according to the day of the Ekadasi. You just find whatever is available and you put it there. So therefore, like you pointed out, then some of these Ekadasis, the conclusion is that no matter, if you kill a Brahmin, you observe on this day, you'll be free of that sin. Or you observe that Ekadasi and you're sure to go to the Indraloka, like that. So these are Artika Dharma. Artika Dharma reasons for following Ekadasi. The Paramartika Dharma reason is the same for all Ekadasis. That this is the, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the Ekadasi is the mother of devotion. So it enhances our devotion to Krishna. And the Vaishnavas don't care about becoming relieved of Brahmahatya or going to Indraloka or going to Brahmaloka or whatever. Actually, the Vaishnavas don't even care if such and such Ekadasi or any other kind of thing, any other kind of observance, is even giving the five kinds of liberation. Or more specifically, the four kinds of liberations which are awarded by the Lord to the Vaishnavas. To get the same form as the Lord, live on the same planet, the same opulence, live in the association of the Lord. The Vaishnavas don't even look for that. The Vaishnavas are just trying to improve their service attitude to the Lord. This is the whole concept of advancement in Krishna consciousness. We want to improve our service. So that's the same with all Ekadasis. That's to write a book on that would be very simple. You just list all the Ekadasi names and then say, the reason we follow these is to become better devotees of the Lord. Finished. Everything on two pages. Yes, Pandit.
In India, you can often see devotees entering into arhanas, the smart devotees. What is a safe and appropriate way that we should think of ourselves? Like, what should we think in our hearts toward them and how should we act?
With Vaishnavas? Oh, it's toward the smartest. Well, at best, they can only be kanishta. Prabhupada said this in Mayapur, that a pure brahmana, one who has followed all the rules and regulations and actually come up to some real stage of purity, the pure brahmana, he is kanishta adhikari, beginning Vaishnava. And Prabhupada was mentioning specifically, he's only kanishta because he still has this concept, I am a brahmana. He's still thinking he's very advanced or whatever. very pure, concerned with his social position, concerned with his ritualistic purity, doesn't want to mix with impure persons like this. So he can only be Kanishka. He won't go out among the, you know, fallen masses and preach Krishna consciousness boldly. He'll be afraid. You see, oh, this person, oh, he's a meat eater. I can't look at him. Like that. You see, they, by their rules and regulations, they're not, they can't even cross the ocean. And so there are some Vaishnavas, some groups of Vaishnavas in India who are still influenced by these ideas. So therefore their effectiveness in preaching is curtailed. Recently, we mentioned yesterday talking about the Madhva group in Udupi. So recently, just a few years back, one of their sannyasis, he was invited by some Madhva Hindus in the United States to come and preach. So he went and he preached. And when he came back to Udupi, the headquarters, they told him, "You're not anymore sannyasi." And he said, "What? You crossed the ocean. You have to." They told him something, he had to go through some whole kind of, that they considered it a fall down, and he had to go through some whole ritualistic purification or something. So he just quit. He said, "Well, if that's the way it is, then I don't want to be a sannyasi in this order." So he just gave up sannyas. He was so frustrated. So this kind of, you know, attitude, as we said, it's kanishta only. It blocks the effectiveness of the preaching. So if they're kanishta Vaishnavas, then in the Nectar of Instruction, it is told we should respect them in the mind, but we shouldn't mix with them very closely. But now we're talking about the, you know, they're kanishta. That means at least they're Vaishnava of some kind. But when we speak of the Smarta Appa Sampradaya, they're not even Vaishnavas. They're just looking like Vaishnavas. And then beyond that, beyond the Appa Sampradaya, then you have just the general mass of Smarta Brahmins who don't even try to look like Vaishnava. So they're totally useless. So we can look upon them as being materialists, like anyone, nothing special. Is there any other question on the smartest? So then we will go on now. As you see, I have these arranged in two divisions. I explained this yesterday, that this is basically for the convenience of presenting in this class to illustrate different things. There's kamanira kama, that means there is lust to enjoy beautiful women or enjoy sense gratification, sex, and pass it off as spiritual life. And there's a list, sahaja al shaki beki chudidhara goranga nagari. And then on the other end, mayavadi, mayavad, bahu karta bhaja, etc. Now I have to point out that actually, both are sharing mostly the same symptoms. In other words, on this side, sahaja, and so on, they're also mayavadis. And on that side, the bowels, especially the bowels, but also ativadi, and sometimes neda, darvesh, shine. You'll also find this illicit business, sex business going on in the name of spiritual life. So it's not that these divisions are actually so make these different headings so fundamentally different. I'm just presented it like this for the ease of illustrating certain points. So we're going to now start talking about this column on the left side, beginning with Sahajya. And these are groups which are clearly engaged in sense gratification. They're Mayavadis also, but they've taken that Mayavadi idea to the final conclusion. You see, the final logical conclusion of Mayavada is, if we're actually all one, if everything is actually all one, then spirit and matter are one. Then the self and the body are one. You see, then soul and body are one. And moreover, Krishna and I are one. I am Krishna. I am my body. This is what it comes down to. And since Krishna, the Shastras say Krishna, his only business is to enjoy transcendental lila. And since I am Krishna, and I am this body, then my only business is to enjoy sense gratification. So they started from a philosophical point of view of Mayavada, but they've taken it to the complete, most degraded conclusion. Whereas on that side, I mean, we have to say the Baals have done the same thing. But I put the Baals there because I found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada translated Baal as Mayavadi. And there's certain other things that make them interesting more to talk as Mayavadis. But in that line, for instance, the Karta Bhajas, which we'll talk, hopefully we can maybe get to them. Karta Bhajas are actually strict. They don't engage in illicit sexual affairs. They're very strict. They're like yogis. But they're completely Mayavadi. Although posing, you know, as being followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but philosophically, they're Mayavad. And anyway, so now we're going to talk about Sahajya. Now the first thing, this word Sahajya is found in the scriptures. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, in chapter 18, text 48, Sahajam kama kaunteya sadosham apina tyajyat. One should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. So this sahajam means that which is natural. So from that term, that which is natural to you, the word sahajya comes out. We explained this somewhat yesterday. The sahajyas, they're taking that which is natural to be this body. You see? This is our nature, material nature. So, if we want to become devotees of Krishna, then we should do it naturally. You see? That means, as I was explaining, their whole ideology. The word sahajya also appears in other scriptures like Krishna Karnamrita, Chaitanya Chandradaya, Chaitanya Charitamrita. I have a whole list where it appears. Adi 7.133, Madhya 2.86, so on and so forth. Whole list of verses. And actually, it's not used in a bad way. As we said, the word is originally found in Bhagavad Gita, and it doesn't mean apasampradaya sahajya. Krishna is using it in a positive sense, that according to your nature you should observe the varnashram dharma and serve me. But the sahajyas have distorted the meaning. We explained that yesterday in answer to someone's question, that sahaja means natural or easy. And actually devotional service is natural and easy. But that's to be understood in the spiritual sense. Natural means according to the spiritual nature. So when one comes up to the spiritual platform, devotional service, serving Krishna, is completely natural. It's the natural function of the soul. But when one is in material consciousness, under the material nature, then if one thinks he can serve Krishna just like that, it is difficult. You see, if there's no purification, then all kinds of problems start to happen. So that second instance, that is the actual case of these prakritta sahajas. Prabhupada always says prakritta sahajas. This prakritta means the material nature. So that's the nature they're following. So there's some points about the sahajas viewpoint. The sahajas, another way of looking at them, is there any kind of... Actually, sahaja could be applied very broadly. That they're any kind of sophisticated sensualist. You see, just like in Karmi society, there is this culture of high class sense gratification. We saw illustrated in the little pantomime Premarasa put on. The first part, the king, you see, he was illustrating that very nicely. Actually, I think that is also natural to him because he's coming from France. So so for instance, when we talk of the culture of sense gratification, France is said to be one of the centers of that kind of culture. They have a very, very developed, way of gratifying the different senses. And that's equated with very high class life. So this is actually also sahajya. Yeah, so even though it's not connected with Krishna consciousness. But the idea is there. You see, the idea is that materialism is our nature. So if materialism is our nature, then let's develop it. You see, let's expand it. Let's make it very nice. So then this attitude, when it's brought into Krishna consciousness, becomes this Appa Sampradaya, Prakriti Sahaja attitude. So these are some points about the sahajyas. That first of all, they think that when the Lord appears in this world, that He took His birth from mother and father the way everybody else does. In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a physical body. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata were his mother and father as much as anybody else has mother and father. So Lord Chaitanya had a material body. And the next thing, since the Lord and his associates like Nityananda and Advaita, they all had material bodies, then their family lines, or the family line of any, these Jati Gosais, whatever, you see, what's being passed down in these family lines is Vaishnavism. Because it's all material anyway. So if it's material, it can be handed down the family line. So we mentioned this, we read something from Prabhupada's purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how these sahajyas, they accept these Jati Gosai, and they call them Prabhupada, and they say, only one who is born in such and such Vaishnava family can be called Prabhupada, because he's inherited the pure bhakti by his birth. So this is sahaja idea. So that naturally is means their whole view of Vishnu and the Vaishnavas is offensive. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one song or poem he's written, He declares that only foolish persons think. What is it? They who reason. They reason ill who say that Vaishnavas die. When you live in sound and living still, spread the holy name around. So he made that point. Actually, Vaishnavas are not subject to birth and death. And certainly Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are not subject to birth and death. So just on the first step, by accepting matter as everyone's nature, even God's nature, they make a big offense. And then naturally that follows that they will classify Vaishnavas as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudras, see them in a material line, material way, and make more and more offenses. And then they draw certain conclusions from all this. When Krishna and Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, Devaki, were so mutually attracted, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Mother Sachi, Jagannath Mishra, were so mutually attracted in family life, why must we give up our attraction to our relations? If Krishna could be promiscuous, in other words, Krishna, he has his gopi friends, and he's going out and dancing with them. So, Krishna is feeling these desires, and why we have to give them up? You see, this is their, after having established materialism, then they start to expand the logic more and more. So the sahaja attitude the sahaja attitude is therefore that be a Vaishnava to, or a so-called Vaishnava, to enjoy sense gratification as a Vaishnava. In other words, one may find that the ladies or the women who are in Vaishnava families or Vaishnava communities are very beautiful, very attractive. So he might like to marry such beautiful, pious lady. So therefore, become a Vaishnava. This is their line of thinking, like that. Just as Garuda, the Lord's eternal associate, is entitled to take flesh foods like fish, as the birds often do, all these hawks and eagles, they're taking fish and meat. So the sons of Acharyas are also entitled to eat fish. Even if the so-called great Vaishnavas engage in illicit sex life, but because the divine blood flows through their veins, their female partners should consider themselves very blessed, very fortunate. And whatever they're doing together, this should be looked upon as by the ordinary people as being sacred activity. And it is a great offense to find fault in the spiritual master, even if he goes to the bar or the prostitute house. An ass with the tilak mark, or a sex monger dressed up like a leopard in striped cloth, should be worshipped. But a bona fide Vaishnava should be seen in material conception. This is their idea. It's all, again, like all one. You put tilak on the face of an ass, he's as good a Vaishnava as a genuine preacher. This is how they see things. To the Sahajiyas, Nama Bas, Nama Parad, and Holy Name are all the same. The whole thing is that you chant Hare Krishna. Whether it's Nama Bas, Nama Parad, or actually chanting the pure, there's no difference. They don't accept these different classifications. Oh, here's a good one. If Bivlamangala Thakur was made Krishna conscious by the words of the prostitute Chintamani, why cannot others also be made Krishna conscious by hearing kirtan from prostitutes, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from these Bhagavat Saptaha, who are also prostitutes, these men who hold Bhagavatam reading for 7 days in some village and then are garlanded with 100-rupee note garland. And then they drive off in their Mercedes. So they're also prostitutes. They prostitute the Bhagavatam. So this is their logic. If Bivlamangala, you know the story of Bivlamangala Thakur. So if he heard from Chintamani and became a great devotee, then what's wrong with all of this? What harm can be there in seeing or hearing dramas on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu composed by false, hypocritical, or Mayavadi so-called devotees who blend spiritual and material truths? If just so long as these dramas can make people cry, then they're experiencing the transcendental emotions. So it's all right. And then they have, I don't want to go through them because they're quite offensive. The Sahajiyas have their own versions of stories of the lives of great Vaishnavas like Swarup Damodar, Rupa Sanatan Goswami, and so on. Since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord Himself, Advaita Acharya, the incarnation of Mahavishnu, Nityananda Prabhu, incarnation of Balaram, Shyamananda Prabhu and Srinivasacharya Prabhu had all taken 2 wives, so any saint who has attained the final knowledge can marry twice or many more times. Lord Shiva can drink poison, Agnidev can eat anything. So Vaishnavism consists in giving license to one's own sensuality, in imitation of power Vaishnavas, of powerful Vaishnavas and Vishnu himself. So they, in other words, they have a whole philosophy based on the principle of imitation. Vrindavan Das Thakur has criticized others with such words in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, calling them such names as devil, demon, sinner, cheater, I kick upon their head, jackal, dog, etc. So, he was subject to anger. So, therefore, we can also experience this rasa too. Why not? And any bona fide Vaishnava who happens to chastise, you see, some unauthorized activity, then that is also simply anger. That's all it is. So they're seeing like they see everything the same. Oh yeah, then they take the Sahajiyas cannot see the humility of Vaishnavas in its proper perspective and take it to be their weakness or a statement of their general character. They take such statements such as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami saying, I am a greater sinner than Jagai and Madai. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, I am a wretched chandala, dog eater. And then Haridas Thakur, he would not enter the Jagannath temple, considering himself completely fallen and untouchable. So they take these things literally. And so they say, yes, Kaviraj Goswami and Vrindavan Das Thakur were great sinners. And Haridas Thakur was untouchable and was not fit to enter any temple. So if we become like that, what's wrong? The material Sahajya doctrine has been propagated since the beginning of creation. Some of the demigods in heaven, for instance, we find in the Bhagavatam stories of Lord Indra, how he's behaving, you see, actually offensively towards Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. Sometimes. There are so many different Indras coming and going. So some of them actually personify this same attitude. They're living very luxuriously, enjoying sense gratification, thinking that they are God, thinking that when the Lord Himself comes, Lord Krishna comes, then He has to worship me, or I will punish Him. Like that. So, this is also an example of the same mentality. Hiranyakasipu, he considered that his son, he considered Prahlad as his son. This is the point. Prahlad was actually a Mahabhagavata, pure devotee of the Lord. But Hiranyakasipu was imposing upon him the designation, no, you are my son. So therefore you have to do what I say. You are under my control. So this is another example, imposing material designation upon Vaishnava, and thus making very big offense. And thus Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Nrisimhadeva. So this is a good example to see what is the actual result of this Sahajya philosophy, where it actually leads to. Shishupal criticized Krishna and the Vaishnavas, as well as Duryodhana, Dushasana, and other such persons. And in the Kali Yuga, it is impossible to keep count of these sahajyas. So that last point is very interesting, because we see such persons as Duryodhana, they actually were born and lived in close proximity with Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. They were associated with Vishnu and the Vaishnavas. They could see Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram and speak with him and see Arjuna, such a great devotee. But their understanding was completely off. So this is actually the essence. This is the essence of the Sahaja mentality. The same mentality just carries over into this Appa Sampradaya. There are many concocted theories in the material doctrine of the Sahajas which just arise out of lust. They imagine three states of the body. Pravarta Deha, the body of the neophyte. Saraka Deha, the body of the aspiring devotee. And Siddha Deha, the spiritually perfected body. So they take all three of these as being states of the physical body. Whereas we know Siddha Deha means the spiritual body which one gets after becoming qualified to enter Golok, the body of one's relationship with eternal relationship with Krishna. But they take Siddha Deha to be when one reaches a very advanced stage of understanding the Sahaja doctrine. Then this body becomes Siddha, becomes perfect. And then you can do whatever you like with it. And it's all transcendental. In their opinion, any man, male, is eligible to be a spiritual master The spiritual master is Krishna himself. Both his and Krishna's pastimes are completely transcendental. And the spiritual master should be in consciousness of his being Krishna. You see, as we said, this is what makes him spiritual master, by thinking he's Krishna. And the disciple, meaning the lady disciple, should think that she is Radha. So, we don't have to say what happens next. So we'll stop there on that note. Any questions on these fellows? Yeah, like that. Many Christians think like that. Yes?
Just this last thing there, in the Kali Yuga, you can not count the amount of sadhyas.
Mm-hmm.
How can I distinguish between the actual enthusiasm and the
sajjiya mentality? This he asks after the whole thing, after we were trying to explain the difference. This is problematic. How to distinguish? Well, sajjiya mentality means materialism, means that the bhav, the enthusiasm, is coming out of the body, and sense gratification and conceptions that